At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And Walker hammers it. Going back, Schaerholz. Goodbye, baseball. Neil Walker with a walk-off winner in the 10th. And the Pirates won it 1-0.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming home number 22, Andrew McCutchen.
It is so surreal, so incredible that he is back.
Ground ball, base hit in the right field for number 22. Of course.
Oh, what a game so far here, fourth inning. And now Reynolds. This ball to center field. Robert back to the track, approaching the wall. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. Anchor down. The Major League home run leader. That's 5. Gives the Bucks the lead.
Oh, man, is that great to hear? I was here for that Neil Walker homer that day. I think it was off Carlos Villanueva. And I'm here again. It's Pomp and Joe, Donnie Chedrick. You know him, some of you, maybe a lot of you, as Donnie Football. He joins me. He's seated right next to me with our friend Cornelius, Seth the Eagles fan, to our right. We're here for opening day, right next to what I think is the finest statue of any sports figure in Pittsburgh. That is the larger-than-life Willie Stargell statue. The Yankees in town. Federal Street is going to be hopping very soon here, Donnie, and I'm glad to be with you on an opening day for the Buccos.
I'm pumped up for this, Joe. This is my first time actually down here on air for a home opener. Last year I had a bit of FOMO. I was back at the office. I didn't even come down after the guys were done.
Yeah.
I stuck around there. I watched the game. I don't know, maybe I was on air after the game that night. For some reason, I didn't come down, I felt a little bit of FOMO, but I'm happy to be here now.
It's the best day of the year in a lot of ways, and I'm curious, Donnie. I'm going to get into this in a moment here, how I sort of view opening day from a fan perspective. But first, I'm curious. You are a quintessential Pittsburgh guy. You're known to some as Donnie Football, but how much is baseball sort of ingrained in your past, in your family, the Buccos, all of that?
This might be hard to believe, but growing up, it was a pretty dead heat between baseball and football for me. And I was always that eternal optimist. Every year in school, I'd be the kid telling my buddies, like, this will be the year, this will be the year, and then the Pirates would go 57 and 105. I didn't get the last laugh until my senior year of high school when they finally made the postseason in 2013. Then they went on that great three-year run that we hope to get back to. But I loved baseball, and I still do love it, but it was a lot stronger when I was growing up. And nothing to say it can't get back to that, because it is a great game. It's always been right up there for me with football. I think football has, you know, surpassed it a bit. for me, but baseball is a great game. And we know firsthand, if there is a good team in this town, everybody else will fall in love with it.
I've said that for years. Now, I used to not be that way. When they were mired in their pesky little 20-year losing streak, I used to write things like, they've lost a whole generation of fans here. And then in 2012, not 13, 2012, maybe even been 11 when they got off to a good start and collapsed. It took 10 minutes for that bridge to our right to be packed with people coming over. People love a winner. You could lose for 100 years around here, and if you start winning, this place will be hopping. You won't believe what happened to me on the way here, Donnie, which is why I was almost late.
You had me worried.
I mean, it was unbelievable. I had to pee like a runaway billy goat, so I parked down there. Then I go to the Spring Hill Suites up here. Much thanks to them for letting me in to pee. The lady's like, which means they didn't. The lady at the counter, I said, I have to do a radio show. I just, for 2 seconds, I'll be in that bathroom. She's like, oh, I've got to get clearance for that. I said, clearance to open the bathroom? I'll be in for 2 seconds. She says, no. She says she has to go find somebody who has a key, who can clear the move. I said, I'll be gone before you know it. This was after I was on the phone with Limits 10 minutes before the show, and he says, Pony's on the other line. I said, that's nice. He has a show at 2 o'clock. I have a show in 10 minutes. So he goes over to Pony. Then I go over here, and I sneak into the Wiggle Bar, Wiggle Whiskey right here. Mm-hmm. I sneak in, Donnie. It's dark. Nobody notices. I'm not supposed to be in there. So I go to their bathroom. It's dark. They haven't turned the lights on yet. So I have to go with the flashlight phone in the bathroom. And then, so I needed that. And then I come out, and Alex Mosier, our old friend from Seven Springs, I think he runs Wiggle Whiskey. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm sorry. I had to go to the bathroom, Alex. I'm sorry. I snuck in.
Does he happen to be standing right over there?
Yeah, he does. There he is, shaking his head. So they all were looking at me like I was crazy because I just walked into their place when it wasn't opened. So here we are, Donnie. It's a long story, but here we are. I'm glad to be with you.
I was a little bit worried about you because I even had to trot back to my car just up the hill, but I got back in plenty of time, and I was –
How about Limits?
I asked him if you checked in. He said, no, I haven't seen Joe yet. I saw you pop out of there, not knowing it was you.
Right, yeah.
But the moment I saw you laugh, I said, well, there he is. He'll be over here in a few minutes.
Yeah, with a minute to spare. How about Limits? Is he taking calls from Crowley right now? Anybody else? Jason Mackey on the line, Limits?
Yes, actually, Crowley just stopped in and
Crowley?
Said hello.
Okay.
And we made some plans,
right.
Yes.
I'm glad all the other shows are set here. Listen, I know you guys are both big Pirate fans. Limits and Donnie. Here's how I look at opening day. It's not a secret that people are up in arms with the Pirates, right? That's not a secret. But I, for several years now, I look at opening day as sort of an armistice, a truce, a ceasefire for me. And I think for a lot of people, but I'll just speak for me, Donnie. That's how I view it. And it's one day to celebrate, to sort of realize in my life, for sure, what the Pirates have meant to me. I grew up 3.5 hours down the road in Buffalo where we didn't have a team, and I adopted the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1971 in my dad's little study, they called it. He was a professor of European history. Little black and white television. Orioles, Pirates in the World Series. Nelson Bryles throwing the ball so hard that he would land on his stomach. It's like he fell off the mound. That captured my little mind. And then it was the lumber company, man, in the 1970s. They captured my imagination. My dad took me on a couple of pilgrimages here, 78 and 79, when I was still, you know, whatever, 14, 15 years old. And I loved the Pirates. Loved them. And if you would have told me then that all these years later I'd be sitting up in the press box at this beautiful ballpark covering this team, talking about this team, doing a pregame show basically with you in front of a Willie Stargell statue. Donnie, I used to wake up, I had photos of the Pirates up on my wall and a black magic marker, and I would put my own stars the day after games. I would give guys stars for what they did the day before. That's how deeply the Pirates are ingrained in me, and no matter how aggravated or critical I might be, I view opening day as a ceasefire, a day to remember those roots.
It's a day that's celebrated by everybody in every city that has baseball, or every fan base that is able to, you know, either take a day off from work, they take a day off from school, so you're already a little bit pumped about that. Like,
yes.
I can recall moments when I was late in high school. I never really got pulled out of school in elementary school or middle school, but, you know, there were a couple of high school years where I kind of slipped out and, you know, I was sick for the day and I came down here because it was the Pirates opener. Whether it was actual opening day in baseball or the home opener, it's a celebratory day. It's like a holiday for people.
Yeah, and it's not going to be like that unless they start winning. It's not going to be like that, but for one day, it can be. Limits, do you relate to that at all? I know you're a huge Pirates fan. I know it runs in your family, and that's the other thing here, is that contrary to maybe popular belief, I think this is a baseball town. It's certainly more of a baseball town than a hockey town. You know, the Penguins came along later on. There's generations of baseball families in this town, which is one of the reasons that when they start to go good or even hint at it, people start to come out again. So, Limits, I know it runs in your family. You know, the armistice for a day as opening day, can you relate to that?
No doubt about it, and I'm in full agreeance on every syllable and half syllable that you said. This is obviously a huge football town, number one. It probably always will be. But I don't think baseball is that far off from being right around the same area, especially when the Pirates are winning. And we saw that. I mean, my childhood growing up, 13, 14, 15, is what made me fall in love with baseball, those teams with Kutch and Neil Walker and all those guys, as much as I do now. And I was there at the opening day when McCutchen came back, as we heard in that earlier clip in the first opening day. I made a point to be there. I was there last year. I'll be coming down this year. So it's just, especially this day in particular, is one where you just kind of put everything aside. You see it in Cincinnati, like the Reds have not been that relevant for the last couple of years.
They can't score a run. Didn't they just set a record, Donnie?
Three in a row.
Consecutive games, they've lost 1-0.
But they treat it like a holiday. Every single time there's an opening day in Cincinnati where baseball was born, it looks like just a complete festival, and I love it.
I think that's how places should do it. I honestly think that every single city that has a baseball team should really take that Cincinnati model and just make it an actual holiday, a local holiday. Give everybody the day off, and it opens them up to not have to move around their plans to get down to the ballpark or do whatever they usually do, whatever tradition they have on opening day or their team's home opener.
Yeah, and Limits just reminded me, too, of another deeper meaning for me and my family and the Pirates, and that's my daughter growing up. She was, 12, 13, she was 5-6 years old, immediately fell in love with the Pirates, you know, has a poster of McCutchen on her door, stuff like that, all the shirts. We used to come out to the games all the time. Me and her friends, we'd take the tee down from the South Hills. And so in that way, it also becomes bittersweet because starting in 15, they started to lose that group a little. You know, people who were growing up and becoming attached to the Pirates, that's the bittersweet part for me. And I think for a lot of people is, you know what the bottom line is, Donnie? People in this town just want the Pirates to win so badly. And frankly, it's their turn. The other teams have done some heavy lifting. And believe me, we're highly critical of them. We are. It's the Pirates' turn again to do the heavy lifting in this town. And, man, I'm not sure that this roster is designed for that. But, again, for one day, as the North Shore starts to pick up with the walking traffic here, you know, we can remember what it's like, what the good stuff is like. This place was designed to have an atmosphere like Wrigley Field. You know, have you been there?
I actually haven't. I've been to Fenway about a half dozen times, which
Same thing in terms of the rolling party outside the game. That's what this is designed for, is to have people, you know, walking up and down the streets all over the North Shore, coming from downtown, And when the Pirates have been going good, that's what it is. It's basically Wrigley Field in Pittsburgh, and that's what people so desperately want to get back to and what they'll feel for at least a day.
A couple of seasons ago, Joe, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, they kind of redesigned the outfield. They added multiple outfield bars.
Yeah.
They made it a really nice standing room area that I don't know how many teams around Major League Baseball have. My first thought, no joke, my first thought, the first game I kind of went out there and took it in, it was, I can't imagine what this place will look like for a Pirates playoff game. Mm. Like, we think of the memories that we got in 2013 and even into that divisional series and then the two other wild card games after that, which I know were both losses, but the atmosphere for those games was something that was hard to match by both of the other great pro sport teams in this town. And we've seen Super Bowls. We've seen Stanley Cups. You know, I've seen the Steelers win two Super Bowls. Technically, I've been alive for four Super Bowl appearances. I was about 3 months old in Super Bowl 30. I've seen the Penguins win three Stanley Cups, get to the Stanley Cup final four times. We've just gotten a taste. The Pirates have only had the tip of the iceberg in my life. So you brought up the whole thing about losing a generation of fans. I mean, the people around my age, the people around Austin's age, we haven't gotten to see a lot of winning baseball.
Right.
Here, like we have gotten a taste at most. You know, I missed out on the 90s teams, the early 90s. We've gotten 3 years. We have 3 years to hold on to. And realistically, the Pirates didn't even get to the championship series any of those years. So you know, with enough baseball fans in this town, if they were to ever get to that point or beyond it, it would be bedlam in this place.
That's a good word. Bedlam. It's Pomp and Joe, Donnie Chedrick next to me, right next to the Stargell statue. Do you agree, Donnie, that that's the finest sports statue in Pittsburgh?
I think it is. Now that I'm going to have 4+ hours to really study it, and I've seen it 100 times before, but usually I'm just walking past it. I mean, you have that one, you have the Mazeroski one, you have J.P. Honus Wagner at home plate.
Yeah. I mean, the Franco one at the airport, if you call that, is it technically a statue? Is it a large figurine? I think it's a statue. That one's the most sort of prestigious and most viewed.
That one's also like everybody's entrance point.
Right, exactly.
Anybody that comes back home to Pittsburgh or they fly into Pittsburgh for the first time, they're taking a picture of that statue.
I think it was John Banaszak. It was an ex-Steeler. Now I can't remember who. Maybe John Kolb. We were talking about Franco after Franco's passing, and he said, yeah, my niece, maybe his granddaughter, lives in Europe somewhere. So this was her first time in Pittsburgh. So they get to the airport, they meet her, and she's like 7 years old, and it was Franco and George Washington next to each other.
Yeah.
Is it still? I don't even
yeah.
know. And she says to her granddad, who's I think John Kolb actually, Dad, who's the guy next to Franco? That was her line. It was great.
In her defense, it was a young George. I think that's General George.
Yeah.
I don't think it was presidential George.
That's back when he was a coordinator,
yeah.
right? Before he became a head coach.
Yeah, he was a young, hot-to-trot offensive coordinator then.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got a lot happening on the show today. We're going to take a Steeler break at 11 with Ray Fittipaldo, but it's pretty much baseball. Wall-to-wall fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you in our six-pack, as always. Brought to you by Bet365. Come on down and say hello. It was only last year that Ron... Was Ron here? No, he was gone. Who was I doing the show with? I can't remember. But I remember Destiny's Child made his Pittsburgh debut, and I riled up maybe 40 or 50 Pirates fans to sing to Destiny's Child on the air on opening day, Donnie. It was a moment.
Now he's leaving us.
Yeah, I know. It's how fast a year goes. And now, is he gone, Destiny's Child?
I think he might be done, yeah. Now, I know he's originally from out west.
Yeah.
Joe, we're going to get some action here, too. There's a car getting towed right in front of us. How about that?
Is that mine? No.
It's right in front of us. I would hope not.
Okay. The fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Come on over and say hello if you're coming down to Federal Street today, PNC Park, and we know a lot of you are. We're live getting ready for the Bucks and the Yankees. Our opening day broadcast brought to you by Saloni's, the official burger and hot dog bun of the Pirates, and Mike's Beer Bar. Meet your friends before and after the game at Mike's. Well, Limits, you sparked something in me as well. It's the 25th year anniversary of this beautiful ballpark. And while on one hand, again, you know, everything, it feels like everything special with the Pirates is counterbalanced by something else. They have Paul Skeens, who I think is literally one of the greatest young pitchers in baseball history. When you think about him, though, you think, well, have they built enough around him? When you think of opening day and what we just talked about, celebration galore, you think, will there be any more this season? And then when you think about the 25-year anniversary of PNC Park, at least what I think about is I've had a lot of awesome moments in this park with my wife and daughter. My dad came in one time, and we sat and watched a game. We had really good seats that night. My wife's family, who never comes down from Brockway, it's like coming down, you know, it's like the Emerald City when you come from Brockway to Pittsburgh. They all came down one day. I was here for the wild card game. I've seen numerous amazing moments in this ballpark. I've sat in that press box and looked at the skyline and thought to myself, I can't believe I'm here. Like I mentioned, Donnie, growing up a Pirate fan, this skyline, which I think is one of the most spectacular skylines in North America, and I've seen a lot of them having covered the Penguins, is like a painting. And it changes by the minute when you're out there around dusk. I mean, it's crazy. It's a beautiful, awesome place. And they haven't lived up to their part of the bargain. That part's true as well. Give me a moment or two from your PNC Park history that stand out.
So,
were you at the wild card game?
No, that for me is like number one on my list of regrets of sporting events I didn't attend.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been lucky to attend AFC Championship games. I've gone into Stanley Cup playoff games. I'd never went to a Stanley Cup final game though, or anything, or I haven't gone to a Super Bowl. But number one on my list is that 13 wild card game.
Yeah,
I went
that's
to
a
the,
tough one
I
to
went,
miss.
I know. I went to the one in 15, which was pretty much over quickly. Kyle Schwarber hit a ball that I don't think
has landed
yet.
Look, there it is. It's up by the Reed Smith sign, that Schwarber ball. It's still flying.
But that 2013 game, just the – you had 20-plus years. You had 21 years of frustration brought out by fans on that night. And the Cueto moment was just so organic, and I don't think it'll be – we'll never see something match that.
Right.
Because – that was just something that happened so naturally, and in real time, it was almost like a storybook-type moment. You know, the guy drops the ball. The crowd is very clearly in the dude's head. The very next pitch is a home run.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
Like it's legendary.
That type of stuff doesn't happen. So I regrettably missed that game. I just watched that at home with my dad. Again, I was in high school. Another one. I don't know if you remember, they used to have a prize wheel here at a few different parts of the park. It was a free thing that people went to play. That was a summer job I had in college for 2 years. But those 2 years were the 14 season and the 15 season. Two pretty good years to be in the ballpark a
right.
lot for. I was at the park for probably 65 to 70 of the 81 home games in 2015, the team that won 98 games. And the series that I will never forget was that one against the Cardinals before the All-Star break.
With McCutchen's homer.
The Saturday night game, the prize wheel normally shut down, I think, after the seventh inning. So we just got to kind of hang out, or we could go home, kind of do whatever we wanted. But for those, since it was such a big game, I was sticking around. I was there the entire game, the entire rest of the game. Basically saw a whole baseball game in front of me, considering how far that game went. That home run, and then the next night, the very next night, it was Sunday Night Baseball, and they come back again
right.
on the Cardinals.
That's
Polanco walks it off, and Pomp was sitting in the front row.
Were you in the building?
Yes.
then that's a good number one.
Yeah.
Limits, other than the wild card game, which I think if for anybody who was there, that's number one. And even if we're just listing great moments in PNC Park history, I mean, it's like great moments in Three River Stadium history. Gee, I think the Immaculate Reception might be number one. The wild card game is obviously and clearly the number one moment. But for you personally, Limits, other than that, your number one moment when Limits was in this ballpark.
Yeah, I really wish that I was at that one. And I just like Donnie, the regret just is through my veins that
you'll
I was not able to go to that one.
You'll live with it for the rest of your life, Limits.
I will. And I hope that there is a day that will be able to trump that, and hopefully it's a World Series game that I'll be able to see, but I digress. Honestly, Joe, there were a couple, and the first two that stick out to me is Skeens' debut last year. Kind of a funny story about that, and maybe a little bit of recency bias. We were supposed to have, I think Donnie will like this, Baldwin Wiffle Ball opening day that day, and we ended up moving the start times of the games up by like 5 or 6 hours so that we played our games on opening day, our own opening day, so that we could all, because there were a group of like 10 of us that all wanted to go to the Skeens start. And we moved the games, played the games, and then all booked it down to PNC to see Skeens pitch in time, and we made it. And I remember there were people about four rows deep in the bullpen last year just trying to get a glimpse of him. So that was fantastic. And also the McCutcheon return in opening day that I touched on a little bit earlier.
Yes.
That was just, it brought a little bit of a tear to your eye, especially for people my age that grew up with McCutcheon being the figurehead for those teams.
412-928-9370. Sort of a potpourri here. Your feelings on opening day, positive and negative. Your personal greatest moment in PNC Park as the 25th year of baseball opens here. And also, other than the wild card game, which we all agree was number one, what are some other great moments from PNC Park history? I have a couple in mind just very quickly. We were here for the Neil Walker walk-off on opening day.
Ooh, which that's was a good one. 2014?
Incredible. I think it was off Villanueva for the Cubs. It was a 1-0 mm-hmm. win. It was really cold.
Neil had some really big opening days.
Oh, did he ever.
He had the Grand Slam in Chicago.
Right. Did he ever? That was a moment, and I was with my wife, stepson, daughter, and that was really cool. I'll remember that one forever. Another one, strangely, was Rich Hill. He was only 64 then when he came to pitch here for the Dodgers. Pitched a no-hitter and maybe a perfect game into the 10th inning, and Josh Harrison hits a homer to ruin it for him. And so everybody, including me, was writing about the Harvey Haddix game where he had the perfect game mm-hmm. that got broken up in extra innings, legendary. So leave it to the savvy old news hound to go up to Rich Hill after the game and say, you know, your game, sorry about that, buddy. You know, I didn't say that, but your game evoked memories for a lot of people of Harvey Haddix. Do you know who he is? And he said, no.
Really?
And there was an unbelievably awkward silence.
With him.
He was Harvey Haddix's teammate, and Ron Cook was the beat writer. So he said no. There was an awkward silence. I create a lot of those, Donnie. And my last memory is a very, just a personal one. I was on my way down to the clubhouse from the press box and stopped right behind home plate in a corridor where I was as close to the Zhang Ho Gong as I am, you know, to Seth right here, mm-hmm. practically. And it was him and Chapman for a showdown, Aroldis Chapman for the Reds. And I've never, ever in my life been that close to a baseball flying like that. And Gong was completely unafraid, if you remember him, especially before the injury.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he came here to play. And it was an epic, epic showdown. And I think, as I recall, he made an out. I think it may have been a ground out, but it was maybe a 6-7-8 pitch at bat. And it seared into my memory forever because Gong just dug in against this guy. And he was throwing, I don't know, 103, 104, something like that. It was incredible, Donnie, to be that close. I was like, I'm witnessing something very special here in this little moment.
Oh, he could ball. I think that's something that some people forget about. Maybe Ben Tenuta can make one of those videos. Like, people forget how good Jung Ho Gung was. Before everything that happened with him, which obviously off the field, not good.
Not good.
He was a hell of a player.
I thought before that horrific injury, he was going to be a 35-40 home run guy. He had unbelievable power.
His first game back, I think, after the injury, hit two home runs.
Yeah.
They were in St. Louis.
Yeah. You reminded me of something. Who had the comeback game where they hit a homer, or an old guy who hit a homer? Who was the comeback guy? He hit a home run to win a game. He either came back from injury or he was traded and came back and hit the homer. I can't think of his name. Somebody help me.
Well, it wasn't.
Limits? On the text line. Somebody, anybody.
The texters gotcha.
Please. I need to. And, of course, the Brian Giles game with the epic comeback. That
6,
he wins
7, 8,
end.
Giles makes 9.
I mean,
that's a great call from Lanny.
Unbelievable. Literally. That word's overused.
That also
especially
had
by
to be,
me. But that was.
It's one of the most improbable single game comebacks, I think, in league history. Well, I mean, they were down.
Yeah, yeah.
They were down to their last out. They had nobody on base.
Right.
And they were down 6 runs.
Right.
Are you talking about Rob McColvyak's home run?
No, that was on the day that was a doubleheader.
Yeah,
the day
his
baby was born. Yeah, and that was phenomenal. I wasn't here for that. It was somebody. Was it Sean Rodriguez? Is that who I'm thinking of? Came back from Atlanta and hit a homer, a walk off. Am I hallucinating?
Hide your Gatorade coolers.
Somebody, please help me. I think I'm not hallucinating.
He did do that, yes, Joe.
He hit a walk off in his first game back with the Pirates. I think. I don't know. Maybe something special will happen today. Let's hope. Come by. Say hello to Donnie Chedrick and I and Seth and everybody else here. We're right on Federal Street, right next to the Willie Stargell statue.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. I don't know if we'll see Pomp today. Part-time Pomp has TV duties. He said he may stop over, Donnie. And I think that would be exciting for everyone, don't you?
Do we know where he'll be?
That's the question. I don't know if he's doing interviews in there or what exactly is happening. But hopefully we will get a segment from Dr. Pompeiani. Ray Fittipaldo will take a little Steeler break at the top of the hour. But in the meantime, back to opening day. We're on Federal Street. You should join us. We've already had a couple of visitors. One guy really has an elite T-shirt game going today. That guy's a legend, isn't he? That guy who showed up here?
Yeah, he had it was like a screenshot of the survey that
yeah.
the Pirates sent out, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah, with his answer. The Stargell statues to our left, is that Triolo above him, Donnie?
Yes, it is.
I think he may use a torpedo bat tonight. Right?
I hope he does.
He was prominent in the Noah Constrictor story in the Post-Gazette yesterday as a guy who sent away for the torpedo bat. He showed the Noah Constrictor marks on the bat where he's making outs, and God knows he makes a lot of them. Maybe the torpedo bat will help him.
I would love to see that guy become a pretty good player. We know what he is defensively. He's a good defensive player, great defensive player. I mean, he was a gold glover last year,
yeah.
a utility guy. But if he can bring it around at all at the plate.
If he ever brought it around at the plate, you'd have an everyday player. Unfortunately,
absolutely.
You have another guy who can't hit right now.
Yeah, I crossed paths with him, though, a couple of summers I did minor league baseball.
Yeah.
He was with the West Virginia Black Bears, if you remember them.
Sure do.
2019.
Did you call their games?
I did, in 18 and 19.
Who else did you run across who's in the majors? Anybody?
Honestly, it's a lot more guys from other teams that we've seen. Triolo, one of the only guys, though, that has so far broken through at all from those 2 years. The other guys that I would see occasionally would be like rehab assignments. You know, like Key Brian Hayes did a rehab assignment there. JT Brubaker, if you remember him.
Oh, yeah.
But Triolo, the thing that stuck out to me with him after the season, he was really one of the only guys to come up to me and shake my hand and thank me for doing
really?
Games because
yeah.
he said, my parents listened every night, so I just wanted to thank you.
Nice, man.
So,
what position did he play then?
They had him all over there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the thing with you know, that point in minor league baseball, because that was a short season, single A, so it was like the lowest of the low,
right?
Basically. But they had him mostly in the infield, but you would see guys move around everywhere
and experiment
with them all over the place.
Goodness knows the Pirates have a lot of those guys. It'd be nice just to have the luxury of having an outstanding fielder utility guy like him.
Yeah, he was mostly left side of the infield, but they would still move him over all over.
But when everybody on your roster is a utility man, it's problematic. And as I've said many times, Donnie, the Pirates have more utility men than Duquesne Light.
That's one of my favorite lines. I've used that one and credited you.
There's Ron. I thought of him this morning, too. He used to enjoy these opening days, believe it or not. He used to enjoy being out on Federal Street. And when I say believe it or not, it's because he didn't enjoy much by that point. But he did enjoy coming out here.
There's something about this, too, that kind of it pulls like the kid out in you.
Yes, absolutely.
You brought it up, you know, how your dad would bring you down here from Buffalo occasionally in the 70s. Like, no matter what age you are, there's something about coming back to a baseball game specifically that kind of pulls the child out of you.
Limits, what do you have for us? Ooh.
All right,
like
boys.
That, Donnie?
It's the breakdown time.
It's the breakdown music. The Bechtel breakdown for this glorious Friday, home opener style for the Pirates on April 4th, 2025, brought to you by our good friends at Southside Plumbing and Heating and our good friend Jake. Happy birthday to Mitch Keller today, Joe. Mitch Keller will start the home opener on his birthday. What are your favorite sports-related birthday memories that you've been able to partake in?
What?
Any? I mean, Mitch Keller starting on his birthday, which is cool.
You mean my birthday or someone else's birthday?
No,
What the hell is going on here, Donnie? I'm asking you. What kind of question is this?
Donnie, did you understand the question?
Do you mean my birthday memories?
Your birthday. When you have a birthday. I don't exactly know what day your birthday is. I'll just come out and
say it. It's August 26th. None. I don't ever remember having a birthday game. Donnie, do you?
I don't think I mean, maybe in middle school or high school football.
Hello,
I mean,
hello.
A game that, like, you go to?
My birthday is October 22nd.
Careful there, Joe. There might not be a quiz show later in the show.
Next.
The reason why I brought that up is because I covered the NC State NCAA tournament game last year, and I thought that was cool. It was on my birthday at PPG. So I thought maybe we'd get a nice Starkey story in there. But no, he rags on the question.
Oh, what about Donnie? He always comes after me, Donnie. Well, what do you want me to say? I don't have a birthday sports memory. I don't.
The Pirates have added Alexander Canario to their 26-man roster as we just move ahead.
The Canario in the coal mine, yes.
From the Mets. To make room, Jiwon Bae was optioned to AAA. And Jason DeLay, who was DFA'd on Monday, was traded to Atlanta. Joe, your reaction to Jiwon Bae going away?
I was surprised Jiwon Bae was ever here again. I thought we moved on. Of course, I thought we moved on from Sawinski as well, plus a bunch of other guys. But they're still here. Canario is interesting to me, however. I like that Ben Cherington made that little deal. I like taking a swing on a guy like that. His minor league numbers intrigue me. He seemed to be getting squeezed out where he was. Simply, you know, a roster decision because there wasn't a spot for him. Who knows how it turns out, but he could be the outfield version of Joey Bart. And, of course, I'll miss the human rain delay, Jason DeLay, Donnie.
Yeah, see, I thought of the Joey Bart thing, too, when they made that move for Canario. And then The Jiwon Bae thing, he had no business being on the roster. And it's funny, my parents actually came up last weekend, so my dad, who really hasn't been in tune with Pirates baseball for 7-8 years now because they live in Delaware, he got to watch the whole series against the Marlins, and we watched some games together. And we watched on Sunday when Jiwon Bae was pinch running for Kutch, and the guy who is only on base because he's fast and is a good base runner was running the bases like he was 6 years old. And my dad at one point just said, "What is this guy's purpose?" And I said, "Well, he's fast. They put him on in like these late game situations.
Like Matt Alexander, you know, in the 70s.
Yeah. He goes, "It seems like he's afraid to steal." I said, yeah, otherwise I don't know why the hell he's here.
So, you reminded me of something else there, Donnie. We used to come down on Sundays with my daughter and run the base. Well, she would run the bases after the game. You ever had anybody, or did you do that as a kid?
I never did that.
I guarantee you Limits did that. Did you, Limits, run
yeah,
the bases?
I did once, yes.
He probably slid headfirst into home.
I almost did a second time.
Crashing into toddlers to be safe?
The line was so long to wait for that. We waited like half an hour once, and my dad was like, forget it, we're not doing this anymore. So we did it like once. So
oh,
I had one
my
time.
My dad would have never had the patience.
That thing was legendary. It was actually pretty cool because, I mean, you're on a real baseball field. Mm-hmm. You get to look up and see the seats, and you're on the base paths. It was cool.
Yeah, I never ran the bases, but you had a good call on Limits.
Oh,
I mean, that
I knew it.
That was
full,
going off at like minus 500.
Right. In full Pirates regalia, sprinting, right? Cutting the bags.
Pushing kids over,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, pushing kids over and then the head first slide. Limits,
you know
what's
that
next?
You know they let you go like one at a time when you round the bases, right? So there's no collision.
You passed at least seven toddlers on your way around.
Hey, that means that I wouldn't be safe at home if I passed anybody up. If on my home run trot around the bases, I'd be ruled out if I passed somebody up. Anyway, the Atlanta Braves, guys, have started the season 0-7.
Wow.
This season. Kind of hard to fathom. While the Dodgers have started the year 8-0, the Padres are 7-0 to start the year. While the Pirates are obviously 2-5 in St. Louis, 4-2 in the NL Central. Huge differentials in the East and the West. And when just overall evaluating this, seeing the Dodgers undefeated is whatever. But the Braves, a huge surprise to me, Donnie. No wins yet.
Yeah, I mean, to touch on the Dodgers there for a sec, I think that was expected. I think they're going to set the all-time wins record.
What is the all-time wins record?
It 116?
Is that it?
By the 0-1 Mariners. You can just fact-check me on that real quick. But,
yeah.
I mean, I think the Dodgers are going to win like 125 games. I think they are that dominant. It sounds ridiculous to say that, but they're built for a team that should win that many games. The Braves, they're an organization that, you know, a lot of things they have done have gone right for them. It always seems to fall in the positive direction for the Braves. Fortunately, you have 162 of these things, and I know that maybe we are overreacting a bit to a slow Pirates start, but the Braves can certainly show that they can right the ship. They have the superstars to do it, and they have plenty of time to do so. I honestly wouldn't be too worried about them if I were a Braves fan.
I mean, 0-7's a tough one, though, man. That's mathematically, you start looking at things. But I agree, they should be at least back in it at some point. But that, you go down by a touchdown early, Donnie, in baseball, and that ain't good. I agree with you on the Dodgers.
I think their big worry is the Phillies and then maybe the Mets. But the Mets are never as good as they should be.
How about this, though, Donnie? The Braves being 0-7, no team in MLB history has ever made the playoffs after starting with that record.
That's what I'm talking about, Donnie.
42 years since a team that started 0-7 finished with a winning record.
Holy horse.
Playoffs are, the postseason is a little bit easier to get into.
You want to bet right now?
Still have a prayer.
I'll bet you $20 the Braves don't get in.
I'll do that.
I owe you a steak dinner, of course. Now, I've given you a couple dates, and you and Limits haven't said yes.
I know. We got to work out
all
one
right,
here.
I promise I will. The 1906 Chicago Cubs won 116 games, but the Mariners that you mentioned did it in less time, or, you know, fewer games. So they are regarded as the best regular season. That's the best regular season mark of all time. Now, the 06 Cubs, look at these guys, Donnie. There's pictures of these guys. Mordecai Brown had a hell of a year. He batted .204 that year. Jack Feister, Orville Overall. How about this guy?
Oh, that's an all-time great name.
What do you think he wore to work, Joe?
And then Jack Taylor. What were they all named after clothing items, Donnie?
Overall only had 9 hits, though. It was a down year.
Yeah, Solly Hoffman had a pretty good year.
Well, you
got
to see what they did on the mound. I mean, they probably threw like 700 innings.
Oh, my God. This was Evers to Tinker to Chance. That was this team. They're legendary. Look at Frank Chance at 103 runs. Johnny Evers had a hell of a year. And Joe Tinker at shortstop.
I love seeing some of the numbers.
I bet they never tinkered with the lineup when he was in there, Donnie, huh?
You think they were worried about their war back then, too?
I don't
So, all right, the pitching's
look
always
at Mordecai comical. Brown went 26-6 with a 104. How many of his 36 starts were complete games, if you had to guess?
Well, I'm looking at it right now.
27?
Yeah.
27 complete games for Mordecai Brown. All right, Limits, what's next?
Aaron Judge in 2024, last season, took 28 games to reach 5 home runs. He hit 58 last year. Aaron Judge, and again, not using a torpedo bat this year, in only 6 games has hit 5 home runs. How many do you think that he will hit this weekend at PNC Park?
Donnie, look at this guy. This is Orville Overall. He looks unbelievably angry in this photo, yeah, like he's committed several crimes.
And he left us in 1947.
Yeah.
You'll have to visit the Inglewood Park Cemetery, Joe.
I'll tell you, he won 108 games, though.
Austin, I am actually going to...
He won 108 games overall. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I am going to be financially tied to Aaron Judge home runs all weekend. I'm going to bet on it for all 3 games. I think he's going to get at least 2.
I think he's going to get 1.
I think he's going to hit one off Holderman.
He can hit it out of any park, of course, but this isn't a great park for righties, and I think they pitch around him a little bit, Donnie. I'm going to go 1. And he's not using the torpedo bat,
no,
which is interesting. Most of the rest of them seem to be.
He clearly doesn't need it.
They lead the league with 22 home runs. They lead the majors. The Pirates have 4. 22 to who out homers who in this series, Limits? You think the Pirates rise to the occasion?
No.
Who hits more home runs, the Pirates or Aaron Judge in this series?
That's a good question.
I think
very
the Pirates.
Well stated. I'm going to say the Pirates. You going to say Judge?
Slightly. I think they beat him 3-2.
Last one for you, Joe, just very quickly. We were talking about the Reds being shut out for 3 consecutive games. They are hitting 100 overall as a team. They have 9 hits in their last 3 games, 27 strikeouts. They're the only team in the live ball era, which is since 1920, to lose 3 consecutive games by a score of 1-0. It's them. There's 2 teams. Them and the 1960 Philadelphia Phillies are it.
It's a long ways from the big red machine, I'll tell you that. Ellie De La Cruz is on my home run team, but he's only had really 1 big game. I have to be surprised with this. Like, I don't think they have a great lineup by any means, but this is laughable.
I also thought they would automatically be a little bit better because they reached out and they brought in Tito Francona. And that was a name that we brought up here last year when we weren't sure what Derek Shelton's future was. And
right,
we would get laughed at, like, oh, he wouldn't come out of retirement to manage the Pirates. Well, he did it to manage the friggin' Reds. So I think he maybe would have. That's another team.
Oh, no, he would have.
Yeah, I think he absolutely would have. But it was just funny that we would get laughed at for suggesting it, and yet he comes out of retirement to manage the Reds.
And I might add that the Reds are also 2-5 here, so it's not like they've, you know, sunk out of the picture here. We're very early. We're a touchdown into the season.
Yeah, the NL Central is also going to be a division that is for the taking for
most of
the season.
Who'd you pick to win it? I picked the Cubs.